Sonoma.
Sun 91.3.
You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care. Whisper in your ear, say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you. Ooh. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell?
This is Our Timeless Secrets, and our intention is to inspire heartfelt conversation through music and dialogue that ignite our passion and empower us to move in the direction of our dreams.
In other words, we're here to share our secrets and those of our guests for what works for us to make life go better than well.
Good morning. My name is Harry Blum, and I'd like to welcome you to Our Timeless Secrets. And here's our host, Mari Best.
Well, good morning. Harry, this is a special, special time, isn't it? Look outdoors.
We are so lucky. The town is totally loaded with filmmakers. Mm-hmm. We are having the Sonoma International Film Festival right now.
It is buzzing. Today's show is all about hope. Hope. It's a four-letter word that many, many people need to grab a hold of. And some people feel perhaps that they have lost hope. And this show promises to be a time when we're going to be sharing the story of a young lady who held on to hope and trust and made a huge change in her own life. And there's a lot of people who are serving in the military now who are really having great difficulties as they return from overseas or their time in the service. And we need to be open to their healing. And so one of the people that came into my life many years ago, actually, now we've been friends for quite a while, is the mother of one of these troops. And so I got to see this story from a mother's standpoint. And that was her mother was sharing her concerns about her daughter, who had quite a few considerations going on in her life, to say the least. And it was a difficult journey for her, too. And then I got to see and to meet the beautiful being in question, and I got to be involved in her life beyond that and see what comes when we turn our lives over and begin to trust and to rest in that place of hope. It's it's so important that we never give up, and that if we meet anyone who has even gotten close to giving up, that we share what works in our lives. Thus, Our Timeless Secrets is born. That's why we have done this show, isn't it, Harry? It's special for us.
Yes, it is.
And so I'd like to play a song right now, and it's by Pink, and it's called Just Like a Pill. Just Like a Pill. Yes, these words are very, very relevant for those people who have been battling and are battling any form of addiction. And the good news is that there is a way out. There is always a way out. Never ever give up hope. And just as an aside, I would like to mention too that very shortly, actually on the 19th of April here in Sonoma at the Yoga Community. There's a special event at 7:45 p.m. To do with the reconnection. And I urge you to make time on your calendar for that event. Friday, April 19th, 7:45 at the Yoga Community.
You will not be disappointed. It is complimentary.
Yes. That's wonderful. It is a definite must-see. Speaking of healing, of course, this is all connected. We talk about connecting, but this is a time in our lives when connections happen, and I see that our guest is calling in, and we're going to welcome Morgan to the show. So, hello, Morgan.
Hi, Mari.
How are you, my darling?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Very, very well. It's a glorious day here in Sonoma. And tell me, what is it like there? What's it like there on the East Shore, Eastern Shore?
It's beautiful here. The past couple of days, it's been like, I think it got to 80 yesterday, and I think it's probably 80 today, too.
Oh, that's wonderful. We like that. So it's short sleeves, huh?
Yeah, well, I have on like a halter top. I don't have any sleeves.
That's great. You'll be getting a nice suntan today.
Hold on 1 second. Let me adjust the volume.
Certainly. And so,
hello?
Yes, if you have your computer on, you might want just to turn it off because there's going to be a delay as far as our talk is concerned. But right now, I want to introduce you, Morgan. Morgan, first of all, which branch of the service are you in?
I'm in the Army. I've been in the reserve for 11 years.
11 years. Oh, my goodness. And during that 11 years, I know you have been through quite a story to tell. And I really respect what you're doing just now because this is a very difficult thing to step into this world of authenticity that surrounds any forms of addiction, any kind of life choices that we are making, to step into that place of authenticity and own where we've been and where we are now. And the great news is about where you are now. But I really would like the listeners to get your story and to hear what you have gone through. And so, Morgan, I know that however many, now you said how many years ago was this you went in?
11 years ago in 2002.
Okay, so what brought you to that choice? Tell me about that.
Well, I had just gotten my first place. I was 19. I decided to take a year off high school, and I thought I would go to college after a year. And I tried college. It didn't work out. Plus, it was really hard to pay for. And I was sitting in my house depressed one day, feeling like a loser. I made like $675 at a sub shop, and I'm crying to my best friend, and she told me that her plan when she got out of high school was to join the Army. Her father was a recruiter, so she explained the Army, and at first I didn't like the idea. I was like, I don't want to leave. I said, I don't want the government to own me. But then she explained to me the reserve, so made it sound real good. 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. After training, you'll come home. Don't worry about getting deployed. You won't get deployed. So she talked me into it. I mean, there was, you know, they pay for your college, and, you know, you get all these incentives to join. So that's what I decided to do. All my friends were like, you're not joining the military. This is just a phase you're going through. And, you know, they were all surprised when I actually went off to basic training.
Yes, and so the vision that you carried was the every 2 weeks or whatever and no call-up. And how quickly?
Well, the thing that really got me was, you know, I'd have to do 1 weekend a month. I was like, okay, so I can have a regular job. It'll look good. I'm in the military, and they'll pay for the college. That's what gets a lot of young people today, is because you don't have to take loans out to go to college.
Uh-huh. And then, of course, we stepped into the boot camp. So, after that first day in boot camp, how did your vision change?
I think I was actually more depressed then than I was when I was sitting at home crying to my best friend. It was really scary, just constantly being yelled at all day, and I wanted to turn around and run back home, but I was all the way in South Carolina, so obviously, I mean, when I looked around, people did do that, and it was, they got treated even worse, and they still, you know, still had to get up. I'm a Taurus, so Taurus is really, they hate to get up early. And I'm like, well, if that was the worst part for me at first, you know, and then I was like, well, if I tell them I don't want to do this, I still have to get up early until they do the paperwork, which can take months and months. So I was like, well, I'm here. I may as well, you know, and there were a couple people that let me know, look, just get through the training. It's not going to be like this after that. You just have to get through the training. So
bless your heart. You stood up and you did it. For this, you should be so proud of yourself, because
I
one heck of a choice.
A lot more than, like, you know, just a regular basic training, because I had, first I was, I couldn't pass the test, so it took me a little longer than everybody else, and I broke my ankle, so I had to, I was almost finished, and then I had to restart the last 3 weeks, and that was more torture, more depression.
Oh my goodness! So you
yeah,
really
I was
were
really
planning
proud
it
of myself,
on.
Especially because of that.
Oh my goodness! Now, you know, during when the time when we were talking about you coming on the show, I suggested that you thought of some music that was appropriate for your journey. Are there any of the pieces of music that you that you picked that would be appropriate to sort of round off this little segment of our show, because we're going to go forward with the rest of your journey. Which would be the best one to play for you?
Well, I had picked Outkast Liberation, because at the time I joined, that was what I was listening to, and just the words in the song, just, I mean, you want to, at that time in your life, you're just trying to, you know, feel life out and figure out what you can do to be independent, I guess,
yes.
support yourself and not have to rely on your parents.
Well, I tell you what, we're still going to be on air, but we will just quietly listen to this, Outkast Liberation, right now. Just stay with us.
Okay.
There's a fine line, baby, I'm on it.
Yeah.
There's a fine line between love and hate, you see. Can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. There's a fine line between love and hate, you see. Can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. And baby, I want it. Can't worry about what another nigga think. Now that's liberation,
that
and baby, I want it. Give and take, and I've done so much, and I give it my glory.
And welcome back to Our Timeless Secrets. And we have our guest, Morgan Biggestaff, on the line. And we are talking about her, we're on the first part of her journey of going into the service, the Army in this particular case. And I want to now learn what you were feeling when the surprise came about your first orders. Are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here. I was scared. I got a phone call before I actually got orders, and I just thought it was a joke. I said, they're not going to send me anywhere. I don't have orders. I'm not qualified. I think I was 20 by then. I was in disbelief, but I mean, there was that part of me that was like, oh my God, what if I really do go? I could die. So I was just scared to death.
It was a whole different scene that you were experiencing. The vision has turned into a whole different area. So tell us about that day when you actually got the word.
Well, I had to get on a flight to Virginia, and it seemed like there was nobody in my unit that was with me. So, I mean, I was alone. I didn't know what to expect. I really didn't know what to feel or to expect, and I really wasn't informed very well. It was very unorganized then because it was the beginning of the war, and it was about 250 people in this unit that I was involuntarily transferred to, and I didn't know any of them. I thought, you know, there would be me and a couple people from my unit, but it wasn't. So we had to go through like a 2-month mobilization process and training, and at the end of it all, then some colonel or somebody decides that the unit is qualified based on the check mark on the paper each soldier has. And some of them are just penciled in check marks, like the training probably was not done with 250-some soldiers in 2 months.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So now here you are. How long did you, when you went to Iraq, how long were you there?
My first deployment in 2004, I was there for a year from, I was gone from December 2003, and I came back from Iraq in January 2005.
And so I'm already now, I'm going to take you through that and say, now, how was it for you when you returned from that first year in Iraq?
You said, how was it for me?
Yes, yes.
It was hard because, you know, after a year, you get really close to people, and because so many of us were involuntarily transferred from different states. I mean, in this one unit, they put people from Florida, Louisiana, Virginia. There were some people from Pennsylvania, and I was the only one from Maryland. But, you know, I made friends with all these people, and it feels like you become a family over a year, and you just get ripped apart after when you go home. Like I said, I always tell people it's harder to adjust coming home from deployment than it is to go over there, you know, into a third world country where everything is different and they don't have the technology that we have, but it's simple, you know, it's easy. And when you're deployed, you don't have to worry about, especially, I mean, if you don't have kids, which I didn't at the time, you don't have to worry about paying your rent or your phone bill or any of that. Then we didn't even have cell phones over there. Now on deployments, most people have cell phones, but then they didn't. You know, I barely had a laptop by the end of the deployment, but it was just real easy. You just got up, knew what you had to do, and you had all these people that were around you all the time, and you get really close with people. And then to come home, you know, your family is all messed up and got their own problems and expect you to just come back home and fall in place. But, you know, you don't really have a place anymore. I didn't have a job when I came home. I was just turning 21.
What else was going on? What else was going on?
I came home to my father and husband were both addicted to pills, prescription pills.
Mm. And how did that affect you?
Say one more time.
How did that affect you? What was your relationship with drugs at that point?
Well, I grew really depressed. Like, I didn't know what to do next. I knew I didn't want to go back to being a waitress. I wasn't really sure about how to use my benefits to go to school. And my father, he needed my help all the time. He was in a lot of pain with his back. And me and my husband were in the middle of splitting up. So I should have gone to the VA and got help and counseling. But I didn't, and I started doing pills with them.
Mm. And so what was the eventual thing? What was the most serious addiction? How did it evolve?
My most serious addiction was to heroin and crack cocaine. That came after the pills. It kind of was a progression.
Okay. So, at that point in your life, what was going on aside from that in your life?
Well, me and my dad, we tried several different ways to stop the pills. Plus, I mean, on top of nobody wants to have a habit or an addiction, especially once you realize that it is an addiction, it's very, very expensive, so it pretty much took all my money and took all his money. And what had happened was I had went to a 30-day rehab and started hanging out with, thought it was a good idea to hang out with the people I was in rehab with and go to meetings with and all this stuff. Well, and that didn't last very long. It only lasted a couple weeks, and then me and that person were using her drug of choice, which was heroin, because it's definitely cheaper, and that's how it started. And my father and my addiction got worse when he committed suicide in 2006.
Oh my goodness!
But I was already that's not an excuse though. I was already doing pretty bad. I was living in Baltimore and. Things were just went out of control. I tried living in halfway houses and nothing worked. I always went back. I always went back to drugs.
Well, you know, at this point, I'm going to give you another little break while we listen to a song that I've chosen. It's entitled Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers. And stay with us and just listen. Okay? Thank you. We'll be right back.
She sees my good deeds and she kisses.
Under the Bridge, or Red Hot Chili Peppers. Well, Morgan, I'm so appreciating you sharing this journey. I know it's a difficult journey for you to revamp over. However, I really believe that you are a shining star in my eyes, and you have brought yourself around, and this is good news. And so, what happened when you, as far as I know, you already tried several ways of getting help, but what do you believe has been the greatest strength for you in your help seeking?
Well, my just the people in my life, you know, my my daughter, my mother, and my fiance. The greatest help in the beginning was probably jail is not always a bad thing. When I rehab and all, that couldn't help me, but I got locked up enough times, and that combined with the last time I came out of jail, I found out I was pregnant a couple months later, and my daughter's father is who I was hanging out with when I first came out, and I got right back into drugs. It took me maybe 2 weeks, and so when I found out I was pregnant, I didn't know what to do, but I needed to do something, and my family tried to send me somewhere, and I thought that it was a good idea to go, like, for a six-month inpatient place, and it was designed, like, geared toward pregnant women. That didn't work out. But my mother gave me a number toward a place in Baltimore called the Center for Addiction and Pregnancy, and that's what helped me. And I stayed there for about 2 weeks, and then I had to go to these meetings, I had to go every day for like the first phase, like Monday through Friday, and then the next phase was 3 days a week. And then once you have your baby, then you go once a week, and you can stay till your baby's 3 months old. And that's what really helped me. The people there were great, the counselors, a lot of the counselors have been through the same thing. And I was put on a research study, and that helped me tremendously. The doctor for my research study, he was great, and he's still my doctor. And my mom, she helped me. She gave me that number, and then she opened her home to me for me and my daughter to come live. So we had a good place to go to, but instead of back to Baltimore City.
That is the truth, and this is the part of the journey that I was witnessing from the other side. I was there with your mom as her friend, and witnessing her journey through all of your situations, and this was the part where I started to I think I first got to meet you then. Am I right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. And
Kalita was a baby.
Yes, and your beautiful, beautiful little daughter, Kalita. What a joy! And so, one of the other things that we talked about the other day when we discussed this is about your the main thrust of your healing. You were mentioning that you brought God in there too, and God played a huge part. Is that right?
Yes. Well, I know that. I know that there's a God in my heart, because everything that I did, you know, during my addiction, I shouldn't be alive, and I shouldn't have had a baby that is so smart and beautiful, and she's just, I just can't believe it, you know. And that's what, I mean, I never wanted a baby. I never wanted kids growing up. And the reason other than I had asked God for help during my addiction, help me to find a way out of it. I also believe that maybe that was God's answer to my prayer, because my daughter's my due date that the doctor gave me was my father's birthday, and I was very close with my father. I grew up with my father, so I thought that God would replace my father with a little girl, and that was really the ultimate force that led me to the decision to have the baby.
What a powerful...
And, help me get clean.
Wow. You know, Morgan, these are the words that I love to hear spoken by my guests. You know, this is so important that you were able to connect these dots. And yes, what an amazing gift Kalita is to all of us. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she made it through all of your life journey is so beautiful and healthy. Yes, yes. We're delighted. And so now I'd like to go to another piece of music that you chose. And I believe that it would be Stacey Orrico. There's got to be
More to Life.
Yes. I think it's a good one to go to now. So let's listen to this. Thank you. We'll be right back with you.
Okay.
I go up, I come down, and I'm emptier inside. Tell me, what is this thing that I feel like I'm missing, and why can't I let it go? There's gotta be more to life than chasing that every temporary high to satisfy me. The time, and I'm wasting it slowly here in this moment. I'm halfway out the door, on to the next thing. I'm searching for something that's missing. More to life than chasing that every temporary high to satisfy me.
And we're talking to Morgan Biggerstaff, and we are getting to the most joyful part of your journey here now, after going through all of the work that you did. You have created a beautiful, beautiful daughter for yourself. And
Maury,
tell us where you are in your journey now as far as the service.
There's somebody talking over you. Like, somebody keeps talking about Fox Fabric of Sonoma.
You can hear
Hello?
Us. Yes.
I can barely hear you. Now they have some kind of music playing over top of you.
Okay. Not quite sure what that is. There is.
Hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you. And
no, I hear like some old.
Is it gone now?
50s music playing.
Yes, I actually am hearing it also.
There's a guy saying it's Saturday morning and welcome to something.
Yeah. Who knows what's going on? Well, I'm sorry. We will try to rise above this. Meanwhile, Harry is checking out what's going on. So we will we will continue our conversation and hope that they find what that is. Can you hear me?
Barely. The guy is still, he's talking.
Okay. Well, it is actually, I'm beginning to hear it myself too. And I'm not sure what it is.
He's very, very loud.
It's very
They're
loud?
Very, very soft. Okay. Very loud.
Okay.
So
and I know we're on the air, but I'm not quite sure what's going on. So, are you hearing better now?
A little bit, because now he has music on.
Is it going? Okay. Are you still hearing it?
Yes, it's
bear with
loud.
Us. Okay. So it's possible that it's something to do with it may be something to do with your phone connection.
It's not on the air at all.
It's not
just
on the air.
It's just in our headsets.
How about the Andrews sisters? How many people you remember the Andrews sisters?
Oh gosh. Well,
I'm glad you can laugh.
Well, here's the deal. I would like to begin to wind this up by telling me what's going on in your life now. You just got engaged, is that right?
Well, I got engaged last year before my second deployment. My fiance, he met my daughter when she was about 3 months. 3 months old, I got away from her father because he's not doing anything with his life, and he's still into drugs, bad. And I met my fiance. He's a good, I mean, such a good guy. I didn't even know guys like him exist. And he just, I mean, he's a big part of why I'm still clean. And he's helped me tremendously. We have our own place. It's ours, you know. He has a job, unlike my daughter's father. I have a job. I started, I had gotten deployed when Kalita was, she was almost three, and I was deployed again for, but it was only for 6 months this time, but it was much harder than the first deployment because, you know, to leave your child and go back over. But so I re-enlisted in the military. I made it back home. I got a job at the post office, and I bought another car. And now I just recently quit the post office, and now I work in D.C., a much better job than where I was at the post office.
Brilliant. And there is one more thing that I'm leading you toward, something we talked about the other day. Are you ready to talk about what's on the horizon for you?
Sure.
And how about your secret that you wanted to reveal? What are you about to get?
Oh, I just recently got approved for a loan to buy a house.
Ah, now you see? This is what is the knitting together of the final pieces, so that you and your story, we're bringing it home here, letting people know that there is hope. And I want to thank you. Thank you for sharing this journey with us and letting, I know that you are going to make a difference for a lot of people. And I just want to thank you for calling me here on the air and letting Harry and I share your secret. Thank you, Morgan.
And thank you. I'm honored that you would even consider having me on the show.
Well, you've done a brilliant job, and congratulations. And I will be talking to you shortly. Thanks for calling in, dear.
Okay, Maury. Tell Harry I said hello, and I love you guys.
Oh, we
Thanks,
love
Morgan.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right.
Bye. So, here you have it. A wonderful story. Difficult, very, very difficult. However, it has a hopeful ending and a wonderful ending where this young lady is doing so well. And I'd like to thank all of those who are making this possible. I want to thank all of our sponsors, Large Leather, Sonoma Silver Company, and Keala Healing. We want to thank all of you for helping us to bring this to you. And Harry, how can I ever thank you for all you do here to make this possible?
Well, it's my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure.
You're my bright and shining star. So until next week, here on Our Timeless Secrets, which next week's show is going to be another secret, we will see you then. Thank you.
Here on Our Timeless Secrets is where you can catch a glimpse of the mystical Mari. Mari is a certified intuitive success coach, a channel, ably assisted by her spirit guides, Asophocles and Endante. Mari is the catalyst for change. She will capture an audience to facilitate individuals on how to trust feelings and take responsibility for their lives, bringing them clarity, freedom, and peace. Mari uses the simple tools of laughter, song, and poetry, and her impish Scottish wit. And of course, her spirit guides, Asophocles and Endante, are always with her. Her message is simple. Give choice, a voice, and always come from a place of unconditional love. You can be coached by Mari via phone or on Skype, or better still, in person. 707-934-7717 or email at maribest@gmail.com. That's M-A-H-R-I best, as in the very best, @gmail.com. Or on the web at maribest.com.
True. May you find someone to